Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Friday at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSanto, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 podcasts on NPR.
Oh, that's so sweet. I'm John DeSanto.
I'm Audrey Harkonnen.
And this is Back Talk. Audrey, it's hard to compare, for instance, the Iranian War and World War One. World War One was big.
Very true. Yeah. Very, very
What did
true.
They call it that time, the war to end all wars?
Yeah, wishful thinking, huh?
But anyway, I always love Brit films about World War One, and we'll talk a little bit about those later on. Right now, we have a streaming Netflix movie called...
The Corral.
I guess I would call it The Coral. So what's your impression?
I'm going to veer away a little bit from the focus on World War One, and I'm going to say that the theme is an outsider's influence on a small rural village just happens to be at the time of World War One.
Mm-hmm.
The story is Dr. Guthrie. He is a musician. He is an atheist. He's gay. He's a humanist. He is the outsider, comes to the village. He does not care if he's accepted. He does not care if he's included. He doesn't care if he's liked. He's there to do a job, and that's to be the corral or choral master.
Yeah, the choral master.
That's what he's there for.
Played by nobody who could do it better than Ray Fiennes.
Oh, so, so understated.
Yes, I know.
Oh, my gosh.
He's so tight.
Yep.
He's so self-centered.
Yep.
And he's so brilliant. And unfortunately, it's the backdrop of World War One,
right,
which is the reason he's getting this job.
Yes. He's back from Germany.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very bad.
And that is not sitting well with many, many people. But once again, he's a humanist. He's not taking sides, even though he's English. He's not taking sides on the war.
Yeah. He had a great time in Germany.
Yeah. It sounds like he was very successful.
Successful in Germany.
Yep.
And the local boys do not like that.
Right.
They don't have much choice with him, but they don't like the fact that he came from Germany. In fact, they were going to put on a show, a Bach.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And nope, sorry.
Bricks were thrown in order to stop that. Yeah.
They decide on Sir Edward Elgar.
Yes, yes. And these oratoria, and this is my naivete when it comes to especially choral music. It is just a story that's sung. There's no scenery, there's no backdrops, there's no costumes or anything. It is just sung. So this is another way that Dr. Guthrie just upends everything, but I'm sure we'll start to get into that.
I think you're fine. Part of the reason for this scenario is that they're trying to relieve some of the pressure from World War One.
Right.
Now, I can imagine people waiting for that courier to come with a little note to tell them that their son or their love, a mother picking up this from the courier who goes around town, giving them the little notes from the government that their son is dead. I love the way the film does this. It's so understated. He's just riding his bicycle along. He knocks on the door.
I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry, Mrs.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Audrey, I mean, I can't think of how awful this is.
I know.
So in part, the music does that. It relieves some of that pressure.
Yes. But it unites people as well.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough.
And so what's the pressure put on Dr. Guthrie, on the concertmaster?
He puts it on himself, but he's got to change the program from St. Matthew's Passion to
the Bach.
He chooses this, the Bach piece, to...
Gracchus.
Yes, I've never heard of that.
Word for old man.
Yes. First of all, in his first practice, he assembles the choir. And it is subpar, to say the least.
Well, he has to take teenagers.
Yes. So what he does, and this is that first step in just kind of upending this little community, is he starts recruiting from the local pub. He goes over to the veterans hospital and gets vets. He also goes to a bakery and gets a young man from there. So he has opened the doors, and then he has displaced the older folks that expected that they were going to be the stars once again, and he displaces them. And then with this new piece, he proceeds forward with just the best and the brightest, and he's not going to be deterred.
What I love is because they are losing these young men to the war, he has to select teenagers who themselves must wait a few months.
Right, and they may be going conscripted, is the term, I think.
Right. They may be conscripted, which I thought, again, is like some bad virus.
Well, that is another feature that is so great, is that one of the young men who has come back wounded, when there is objection to the Catholicism involved in the new production that they're going to put on, and it talks about purgatory, this young man explains what purgatory is. It's real. He lived through it. Yeah, not knowing whether he was going to live or die, not knowing what was going to happen next. That's real purgatory. So he, you know, just this production opens up minds about something as simple as Catholicism and made this production more acceptable.
Oh, yeah. Two answers to your responses here. First one is that melancholy, almost final scene of the young men going off on the train.
Yes, that is the turning point. Middle of the film, there's a symbolism of the transition where we've got bunches of people on the platforms. They're saying goodbye to the young men. There's a band playing and there's all celebration. And then the next scene is there's a train coming in. The platform is empty. And this is where the wounded are getting off, where the nurses are getting off, where the medical folks are helping them off. That's transition where it's the realization that this is a turning point for this chorus, this town, this world is being upended.
And you mentioned the Catholicism. Very almost rabid Catholics, or Ever Elgar is.
Yes,
and
yes.
Boy, he does not like changes.
He did not.
He is just talk about crusty.
Right.
It is so well done.
Well, and then the whole theme of the production changes from an old man and an angel who are having a conversation about dying to a young man and a nurse.
Yes.
On the battlefront.
Yes, thanks.
Once again, the way that Dr. Guthrie has transformed this piece.
Yeah, yeah. And Ralph Fiennes, there's some criticism about his performance. I find it Ralph Fiennes, that's all. I mean, he plays it very close to himself.
Yes,
And a lot of people don't know that.
Yes.
But anyway, and he's got about three movies out already this week. He plays a very bad boy in 28 Days Later. The other one but this is about his third one this time. And a smaller piece for him.
Yeah.
How does the filmmaker resolve all of these contradictions? Happiness of people who have never sang before, the young men leaving and the young men returning. I mean, it's quite a...
Well, the singing unites everyone
in
a way, in a spiritual sort of way almost.
Yeah, that's a good point.
While all of these other issues are going on,
they have...
Many people have been given a voice, literally, that they've never had before.
So. Yep. And I love the transition with the old men, particularly the alderman.
Yes.
Who wants to sing.
Duxbury.
He wants to sing.
He does.
I mean, I love it. Is this progress? Well, it's not what I call progress when you're talking about World War I. But there is a progress here.
Yes.
There is a changing of the guard. And I particularly like the little girl who has found a new love, and her old love unfortunately comes back.
She does not take him back.
I know.
That was unexpected. I was quite surprised by that. But once again, this is...
Consider it. He might have been dead.
Yeah.
There were a lot of dead young men.
Yeah.
And what does she know? Full bloom here.
Yeah.
And
she was the one who sang the cabaret song as a tryout, wasn't it? Kind of
because the... Yeah. The outstanding little is the Salvation Army girl.
Yeah. She just steals it.
She truly does. All right, Audrey Hartman. The film is called
The Quarrel,
and it's streaming on Netflix.
And you can get it at the library.
And you can get it at the library. Yeah. Thank you. What do you advise to audiences about this film?
Oh, it's just a very uplifting, very satisfying.
Yeah, it's a sweet film, even though. Yes. And I think that's one of the ironies here, is that it's a sweet film, even though we're talking about one of the most devastating occurrences in our civilization, World War One.
Yes.
And I like the fact that they play both of those. It doesn't become too somber. It doesn't become too happy. It just is people surviving.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait to get out of this Iran war.
Yes, sir. I hear you.
And I'll just close with, what a difference warfare is now with drones.
It's completely, it's a whole other thing. World War One was an example of that, where airplanes came came into the battlefield before there was no such
thing. And probably nerve gas and mustard gas and all that.
Chemicals.
Horrible. Yep.
Yep.
Well, Audrey, I wanted to add in our discussion of our film today that it is a way, this film, this small film, is a way of younger people to get some notion about World War One.
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's an instructive moment.
Yeah, I think
and we both agree it's not the greatest film ever. And I'm a sucker for Ralph Fiennes, and you're a period piece person, so I know you're not totally dismayed it's not a great movie.
This is great.
However, I know you're loaded.
Oh, yeah.
You're loaded now to talk about other movies.
Yes.
Let's start with World War One.
I do have some examples of World War One, and they're the obvious, and then there's the not so obvious. And I veered away from those that are best known, but focus on battle, on the battlefield.
Okay,
and
good.
That kind
That's
of
a good
so
way. Yeah.
I moved away from that, and I also, I'm a little vain here, I just included ones that I have seen.
Well, myself. Of course, yes, and I agree too, and so, I did the same thing.
So, yes, All Quiet on the Western Front. You got to start with that.
Number one on my list as well.
Yeah, Louis Milestone. And Lou Ayres stars in
it. Yeah, Lou Ayres,
And it's the excitement and the celebration that they're, and the politics of they're going to war, and then it is the eye-opening discovery of what it really is.
Yeah.
So it's changing lives. Another is A Farewell to Arms.
You have to do that.
1932, Helen Hayes and Gary Cooper.
Right.
And it's a love story. It's in the backdrop is the devastations and the World War One.
Yeah, it reminds me that that's one of the things I liked about our film today was that we didn't have to see those terrible visuals of the trenches.
That's right.
All right. So, I have to say, back at All Quiet on the Western Front, I think that's, we get some very stark visuals on that, don't we?
We do, but I think at the heart of this particular film, it is the rude awakening of the naivete of the young men who are marching off to war and they're so enthusiastic, and then the horrors, just how it turns their lives up.
Don't we get a German point of view in this? Is this all, or is it American and German?
You know, now that you mention that, I think we get a little of both, but I think it's more German.
Yes. That was, again, groundbreaking in that sense.
Yes.
We're usually so American-centered that that's what I liked about it.
Yeah.
And go ahead, Aud.
I've got one more. This is my zinger, Grand Illusion.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. Sean Gabin. Yeah. Was that?
Yeah. 1937.
Yes.
Jean Renoir. The standout, of course, in that is Eric von Stroheim. And it's the story of the class system that is breaking down. The realization of the French as well as the German is that we've got more in common than we do, than we don't have in common. And that a whole class system is going to disappear. The aristocracy is going to disappear after World War One.
Well, there are two French soldiers captured and imprisoned.
Yes, yes.
In a German POW camp.
Right. And that Eric von Stroheim is the jailer. He comes from the storied military and aristocratic family.
He's perfect.
And now he's a cripple and he's a jailer and he's just humiliated. And it just the different points of view is so good.
Three for you? That's all you're going to give me?
No, we go. For World War II, there's got to be Waterloo Bridge.
Okay.
That's
all right, good.
World War II, Waterloo right. Bridge. We've the Mervyn LeRoy, 1940.
Yeah.
Yep, we've got Robert Taylor and Vivian Leigh. They fall in love. She's a dancer, but then she falls into prostitution while he's gone.
Oh,
she
okay.
thinks he dies.
Yeah.
And then
I forgot
he comes
that.
Back
oh, yeah.
and she is hiding what she's been doing, but his mother figures that it's a very heartbreaking story.
Mine, which is not at all subtle, The Longest Day.
Yes.
Do you remember that with all the stars, Robert Mitchum and everybody?
Yes.
And that was about the D-Day. Then this is not Steven Spielberg.
Right, right.
You know, this is just big American. Yeah, so I always liked that for some reason. I love the theme song and I love seeing all my favorite stars.
Yes.
But it surely didn't give you any deep insight
right.
into it.
Right, right.
Hey, there's a couple in that World War One, Audrey, that I'd like to mention. One of them is in talking about the brutality of war, Gallipoli.
Yes, yes.
1981.
That is completely battle-driven, pretty much. I mean, that's what you see, and that's what, and that is what.
It is the fighting,
yeah,
the campaign in Turkey. And,
yeah.
and I think we're looking at two Australian sprinters,
yes.
if I remember that beautiful theme song
yes.
and the sprinting. But it doesn't. It's way too lyrical for what exactly happens, the ill-fated campaign. One odd that don't often think of in terms of World War One because it's so overshadowed by Peter O'Toole, Lawrence of Arabia.
Yes.
This is the Arab Revolt.
Yes. Yes. I thought about that, and once again, though, so much of that is about battle and battlefields, but
yeah.
it is a different perspective.
And it is definitely, he dominates the movie.
Oh, he
so
does.
It,
he does.
A little bit like Dr. Zhivago.
Yes.
Where Zhivago dominates that movie.
Yes.
I mean, we have some bad boys, some Red Army business and mm-hmm. so on. But the real battle is between him and his wife and
yes.
his new love. How about when he has his heart attack? Isn't that a wonderful yeah. scene at the end?
Yeah.
When he sees her and he tries to get off the train and he has his heart attack. I said, boy, that is,
yeah.
to me, like the ending of Casablanca. Hollywood doesn't always end it romantically.
Right. Dissolves.
Yes. But yeah. what a beautiful visual of the man trying to capture the woman and he can't.
Yeah.
The love, the lost love. And she's out there walking and he's in the train and he tries
yeah.
to get off and he has the heart attack. I just always think about that as the most heartrending romance ever.
Yeah. yeah.
Now, you know, I've got some more.
I've got a couple more.
You're good. Here we go.
Well, Sergeant York.
Oh,
yeah,
good one.
You've got to bring in Sergeant York.
You're right.
Yeah, the Howard Hawks with Gary Cooper there, and he's a Quaker, and he's against war, and how he's able to reconcile his beliefs and become a hero.
Coop was really good for that stuff, wasn't he?
So
huh? Tall, handsome, sensitive. He really was made to order for those.
There's another one I grabbed, too. And I had forgotten this component and how big World War One features in this. And that's East of Eden.
Oh, my gosh. Tell me,
yes.
because...
Well, think about this. It's Alia Kazan, of course, James Dean, 1955. The father, the widower, has these twin sons. And there's the bad boy, and then there's the good boy. And how World War One affects the little village of Monterey, and what happens to so many of them. And Dad is the head of the conscription office.
Nice job.
Yeah, in I believe it's Monterey.
Well, I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah.
I had forgotten that whole
about it
background
too.
On that.
Yeah.
Again, because it's so dominated by James Dean
right,
in it
right.
that you don't think of it.
Yeah.
As,
it is very, very heavily influenced. The businesses that are going under and the challenges there in California.
And our new wunderkind is Christopher Nolan in film and in battles, and I'm thinking of 1917. It's got a 1917. The British soldiers, two British soldiers capturing the intensity of frontline experiences. Anyway, there's another one with Steven Spielberg that I thought was a little bit more romantic than most about the wars, and this would 2011, War Horse.
I don't remember.
And that was a young farm boy enlists to serve in World War One after his beloved horse is sold to the cavalry. And that's Spielberg, and it stars Jeremy Irvine, Emily Watson, David Thewlis. A kind of a romantic piece that you wouldn't think of for this at all, except it's set for that. There is one that I believe was the first Oscar called Wings.
Yes, it was the first Oscar.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's, but once again, that's all battle, and the majority of it was battle.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. Audrey, I'm getting depleted here.
Yes.
What do you think? You think we've hit the big ones? I mean, you started out with.
I think we pretty much.
Yes, it is. Because we started out with All Quiet on the Western Front. After that, everybody else is a piker.
Right.
Compared with that.
Right.
Brilliant. But anyway, I hate to say it, that you can get great art out of a world war.
Yeah.
But you can get great art.
You can. And great lessons.
Yeah, and great lessons. And I have to applaud Hollywood for, as much as chauvinistic as they were, even Casablanca, that they are exposing something that we needed to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can separate the romance from the way we present films and we present these wars.
Yes.
There's no other way for a young person to experience it than through our motion pictures.
Yeah, that's true.
And I believe that we've done a great job. All right, Audrey Harkonnen. The movie is?
The Coral.
With Ralph Fiennes. I'm far more positive on it than Audrey is. She has a particularly critical eye on all of this business. But I think she would agree with me. It's an easy night's viewing.
It's very easy.
And if you have some young people with you, I believe it's a chance to talk about some of the big mistakes that we have made and we're still making.
Yes.
And so, well, Audrey, what do you recommend?
I think it's definitely worth a visit. Definitely worth a visit.
All right, The Coral.